of Jesus. I believe I receive
wisdom,
revelation,
and the knowledge of God.
Now tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit,
I'm open.
I'm yielded
to you.
In Jesus' name.
All
right, y'all may be seated. Now today, if you're here, I think everyone born again, everybody saved. If you're here and you need a church home, we want to be your church family. If you're here and you have not yet received this endowment of power called being filled with the Spirit, you'll have a chance today for someone to explain and share with you and help you to get that spiritual need and desire met today. So if you need a church home, if you need, if your heart is hungry, or even if you just don't understand what it means to be born again, at the end of the service, not right now, but toward the end of the service, we'll give you an opportunity to make sure that you go to a private area and you'll have that need met. But for right now, let's get into the word. Amen. All right. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm talking about you and your generation. You and your generation. But the title is Save Your Generation. I believe when God put this in my heart, the meaning of this was you have people who are like you in your age group, similar to your age group. 24-year-old people have some people who are in that age area. 24-year-old people then. And 13 and 14 and 15-year-old people, there are some people in your age group, your generation, people. If you are 21, 18, just are you 35, are you 80, or 65, save your generation. Save your generation. Okay. And the Lord put this in my heart, really. So I feel very confident. I really didn't even have to have any notes, but, you know, I always, sometimes when I have notes, I just don't use them anyway. But I know this is a good message. It's a message. It's not so much a sermon. Now, so 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he gave us a ministry. And that ministry that he gave us is the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And so the 20th verse says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now in that 20th verse, you notice two times he mentioned the word you. But if you look at your Bible, my Bible has you italicized. That means that the translators put that word there, meaning to help you. It's italicized. But if you read it without the italicis, it's now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we did beseech. See? As though he beseeched by us. It's like God talking to people. In that script, in that text, it says beseech you. But if you read it without the italicized word, it's like we are beseeching people in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God. And so, you know, just think about it. Just think about it. I'm a practical person, aren't you? Yeah. You know, just think about it. If you are already, and, you know, I observed other people, you know, folk die. I was leaving a funeral, a graveyard. One of the preachers came up to me and said, people dying today, ain't never died before. Folk dying, you know, but I mean, why? Just think, why? Why would I want to live my life, get a job, you know, get the things I want, car, house, Get a new car. Got a good job. Get a raise. And to just think, is this all? Come on now. Really, really, for real. You know, really, really good. If I did get everything that I want, and God's been good to all of us, hadn't he? You know, and, you know, we just waiting to die. More folks just waiting to die. I mean, they eat, go to church. They go to church, they eat, and they have good food, eat anything we want. But is this all? It had to be something different to life than having some food and some clothes and a car and a house and, you know, being able to go on a vacation. Come on, help me out. What you do? What do people do? They go to church. Come on. What else? Come on, help me out. Church, food, eat, movie, laugh, yeah, family reunion, and party, baseball game, die. Anything, did I leave anything out? Shop. Get a lot of money. See, a whole lot of money. Say a lot of money. A lot of money. Yeah, but really, it's got to be something more to life than graduating from high school and finding out what job pays you most and then going to school 4 years or 5 years or 7 years, getting a degree, and then locking yourself up into getting up, going to work, focusing on that, or even if you have your own business, going home and going to sleep, getting up again. You know it's got to be better than that. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell people. Don't get stuck in the way the world lives. I'm telling you, it's a trap. It promises you fullness of fulfillment, but you can't get it like that. I'm telling you, you listen to Solomon. Listen to these people in the Bible who tell you, Solomon said, I've done everything. Solomon was rich enough to do everything he thought. This man had forests. Anything that he wanted to do, and he was smart, he was wise. Under the sun, he knew how to have fun. He knew how to party. He was a party animal, and he had some women. Really. He did everything that a person could do to get epitome of fulfillment. And he said, all this stuff is just vanity. It's got to be better than this. I can be a pro football player. I can have it all. And I could be a crown. I used to be in a business. The epitome of that echelon was a crown. It was your diamond, double diamond, triple diamond, then a crown. And God let me know early, you know, that ain't all that. And then one of the people who were one of the high echelon, they had succeeded. And the woman got up there and messed up and cried because she was miserable. Because being at the top with nobody up there with her, she was lonely. They were rich, rich, rich. Got everything. I mean, they had these nice cars, you know. And they was flashing it like this is the life. They were successful in one area. But that could not give them what they needed in order to be fulfilled. Write this down. The secret to fulfillment. I'm trying to tell you why you still got some years in your life. Some more days where you're not in a wheelchair or confined to a bed about to die. I'm trying to tell you before you can't do anything else. Hallelujah. I hope this is one of those that, see, I didn't get to, this is a message from God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The secret to fulfillment is purpose. That means, if you're going to be really fulfilled in life, you need to not leave off the reason that you're on the earth in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. The secret to being fulfilled is not necessarily forsaking and not doing these other things that I just mentioned. But it doesn't work right as far as having the epitome of fulfillment that you can get unless you include this purpose that you're on this earth for in the first place. You are on this earth for eternity. That means what I'm saying is what you want to focus on is eternity and not short-term gratification.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, really, eternity, you want to focus, get a little bit higher and start looking at, okay, all right, now, how am I going to walk with God and actually be fulfilled? You can't walk with him unless you're agreeing. And God says, save your generation. You remember that woman who said, who knows? Am I in the kingdom for such a time as this? You are in this kingdom on this earth for a better reason than to make sure that you're comfortable. God is a jealous God. He want to make sure you're comfortable. He don't want you to take that on yourself. God is a jealous God. He wants to be the one that makes you comfortable. He wants to be the one who got you. He don't want you to have you. He want to have you. He want to take care of that and free you up so that you can live the rest of your life. It doesn't mean stop doing anything, but include this priority. God wants you to save your generation. If you are a teenager, if you are a 14-year-old person, you do not supposed to be focusing on what, baby, you can be anything you want to be in life. You are smart and you can be anything you want to be. That sounds real good, doesn't it? You can't just be anything that come off the top of your head. You are what you are. You are what you are. You got to find out what you are and be that. Amen. Lord, I know a lot of people graduated and everything. I'm glad I'm getting to you in time. It's a mistake to go after a career because it's glamorous. Amen. That's not the topic of my message. Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to find out why you were born. And then you're supposed to develop that. And then you're supposed to give it away to the world with other people on your mind. And God will make sure that you be blessed. And you will be fulfilled. And you won't be just spending time on the earth waiting to die. Glory to God. Come on back over here, Pastor. God said, save your generation. That's the message. God says, save your generation. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a strategy today that Jesus had in his life and ministry that's going to help you to save people who are in your generation. And if you are about the business of, I'm not telling you to stop everything, but include this. Put this in your life and you will be fulfilled. You will be blessed. You will be blessed better than you could have blessed yourself. If you're real smart, streetwise, you will be blessed better than you could have been blessed if you had the burden of making yourself happy on your own. God is jealous. That's his privilege. He don't want you to bear the burden of making yourself happy in life. That's his part. That's his privilege. Work belongs to him. You are not designed to carry the burden of your own provision. If you don't ever find out how to have God take care of that part of your life, you'll have to be trying to take care of it. Amen. And all of it is vanity. It's all vanity. You never, never feel fulfilled if you have that burden in your own hand. You can get a better job, it still won't do it. You can get a new wife, it still won't do it. You can get more money, it won't do it. It's a secret. It'll never fulfill you. It's a lie. All that's a lie. The secret to being fulfilled is to find out, why didn't I go to heaven after I got saved? Why am I still here? To try to be happy? Come on now. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to work real hard trying to go to heaven. You are not called to spend your life trying to go to heaven. Religion is the opium of the people. It bewitches people. It puts them under a spell that they are doing good enough to make themselves righteous. I'm closer. I'm getting better. I ain't what I was, but I'm getting better. See, all that's a lie. Now, let's look at Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews 11 chapter. I've heard from God this week. He has a message. He said, save your generation. And I'm going to give you a strategy from the life of Jesus, how he, a strategy. And I'm not telling you to be poor or get rid of anything. I'm saying sell your confidence in yourself and buy confidence in God. Confidence in God costs you your confidence in yourself. It's a price you have to pay to have confidence in God. You have to buy confidence in God. And what it costs, you have to pay confidence in yourself. You got to trade confidence in yourself in order to buy confidence in God. Y'all ready? Hebrews first chapter. Ready? Read. The 11th chapter, first verse. Ready? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay. In the Old Testament, nobody could have the faith that you and I can have, because faith comes by hearing, and nobody had it told to them what it was going to be like with you after God raised Jesus from the dead. Before the New Testament, before Jesus went to the cross, before Jesus went to hell for you, and before Jesus was raised from the dead, before all of that, those people would prophesy, and they would know who in the world they are talking about. They knew it was going to be some people being born. They knew it was a person called Messiah who was going to come. And then they knew that after he came, something was going to happen. And then a new breed of people were going to be born. They didn't know who they were. They knew it wasn't them. But they knew something was going to happen in the future where what the people were like then was not going to exist anymore. Those people, they were under the law, talking about sin and death, and they were doing their very best to live right. You know. And now, somebody said now. Y'all with me? Come on, somebody. Listen, the Holy Spirit is going to help us a lot today. Your children will look at you. If you are being real religious, trying to live and depending on your ability to get right, they'll look at you and they will say, ain't no use in going to church. I can get blessed just as much as you getting blessed. I mean, see, I see cracks in your armor. I got sense. I ain't going to go to church. Can't nobody live that good anyway. What do you mean? You righteous because you living good. I live good and I go to church. See, because if they see somebody dependent on how good they can live in order to get righteous before they receive the gift of righteousness, they'll look at it just like a fraternity. In a fraternity, they live right. And all of our Greeks say it, amen. You know, they teach you, you know, we are Kappa, we are Delta, we are Zeta. You know, we in this group. And your children look at this just like a religious organization. Yeah. Yeah. So it's got to be something else. And when I was young, when I was 18, got married, when I was 21, I wasn't interested anymore. I had to go to God myself. I said, God, I am not interested in my religion. I am not interested in what people in my church say. I am not. You got to give me, you got to show me something. This thing got to be better than me just going to church, acting, saying, oh, yeah, 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 and the preacher all trying to mess around with you. I didn't care no more. I said, I don't care what us think, because it was a woman who owned us gonna do this, us gonna do this. And you know, and I said, I'm not interested in what us think. I told God that. Because I was serious. I'm not gonna live my life messing around with stuff and messing around and die. God respects that kind of thinking. So he said, okay, I'll show you. And he showed me the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and something wrong with you and death. So I changed. I believe God. And I'm a living witness. He's faithful. Nobody got healed before I started believing this way. Nobody. Nobody. Not got healed, not me laying hands on them. I had to believe that I'm not somebody who's trying to get right so I can go home. I had to believe that God has already made me in my invisible part exactly like Jesus. I had to stop trying to get right and start believing that I am of the family of God. I had to believe that I am a son of God just as much as Jesus is. I had to believe the Bible when the Bible told me that I have already been delivered from the power of darkness. I had to believe when God said that I have already entered the kingdom of God and I'm just still living on earth. I am not trying to go to heaven. I am a citizen, and I'm a citizen of that kingdom now, and God is my father. I am not a slave trying to run around and get blessed. I am a blessed person. And I am a place where blessings come through. I'm a channel. When somebody's around me, they're around the kingdom of God. If I come to somebody's house, I can announce the kingdom of God is present in this house now. And if I'm in a house, I had to believe that if anybody in there's sick, I'll heal them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if I talked about it, the anointing came on me. And so God want to tell you, save your generation and stop fooling around. I said fooling around. Stop running around trying to get blessed. You got to start believing before you die that you are a blessed person. All right. Come on, say now. Faith is evidence. See, faith is a substance of things. You used to hope for it. In the Old Testament, they were hoping. They believed God is able to do it. But now, in the New Testament, you believe that God did it. All in the Old Testament, they were believing God can do this. I don't know who's going to be, but you are the people who were born, who the people in the Old Testament was prophesying about. The Bible is evidence that you are it. Come on, say now.
Faith is
evidence that what God was hoping for, he finally did it. You are what people used to be hoping to be. And the Bible gives you evidence that you are the ones. That's what that's. It's not talking about, I believe that. Yeah, it worked like that. But in context, he's saying, now, the word of God that came to you is evidence that you are delivered from the power of darkness. So it's sin for you to transgress the law that says you are blessed. If you ever run around trying to get delivered to you, that's sin. Cause the law that's talking about life in Christ Jesus says you are delivered. That blood has already been shed. Yeah. Jesus paid the price for you to stand up and say, I heard from God. I am a delivered person. Yeah. I'm delivered from the power of depression and darkness. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who told you this? God's word told me. How you know? I heard the word of God. How you get that kind of faith? From the word of God. Okay. I don't supposed to be hollering. Save your generation. The devil wants you to run around trying to get yourself blessed, and you're already a blessed person. If you're going to really be fulfilled in life, you need to stop all of that and say, God, I got to save somebody. Because that's why I'm on the earth. I'm going to keep my job. I'm going to keep my car. I'm going to go and lay on my carpet, and I'm going to enjoy what I'm paying for. Don't ever pay for a house for 20 years and don't enjoy it. You go home today and you lay on your carpet and say, glory to God, I'm going to enjoy it. All this stuff I'm paying for. I am not going to work 20 years and not enjoy. I'm going to enjoy this carpet. You grab your wife and you hug your wife and enjoy the wife of your youth. You enjoy all that furniture you got in your house. Shout, but I am not going to live my life and leave off the reason that I'm on this earth. I'm on this earth so I can save somebody in my generation. If you are 15 years old, you don't need to wait until you grow to get a lot of degrees behind your name and say, now you're a qualified preacher. You are an ambassador of God right now. And all you need to know is God is good to me. You don't need to have a lot of degrees to be qualified to help somebody. All them people get all those degrees and they still ain't healing nobody. And all you need to know, all I know, I was blind, but now I see. At least have monkey sense. It's a monkey of a picture. It's a picture of a monkey on a wall in a man's office. He said, all I know is I was poor, now I'm rich. And you got to say, all I know is I was lost, now I'm found. You don't need to have somebody teach you all that. You just need to save your generation. And I'm going to give you a strategy. So come on, say now. Faith is evidence. Now, this is what faith is evidence of. Faith is evidence that what you heard about what Jesus did to pay the price. You know, your faith that you heard. See, the people in the Old Testament didn't hear this. But your faith is evidence that you who are born again are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and you have rights, you have privileges, you have things already provided for you. And if you're trying to get sit in a seat that you're already sitting in, you don't have to do that. You're already a blessed person. The devil wants you to run around trying to make yourself blessed. God already blessed you. How you know? I got evidence right here. Amen. Okay, the word of God is your evidence that you have been delivered from the power of darkness. The word of God is evidence that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the curse of poverty. The word of God is your evidence that his own self, come on somebody, his own self bare our sins in his own body when he was on the tree. So you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Somebody know this. By whose stripes? You were healed. How you know you're healed? Because you feel better? Had nothing to do with it. I got evidence. Come on, somebody say, my faith is evidence that I already got it. If you're trying to wait until you feel better, you're not using your faith. Your faith is what you got from what God said. And he's not going to ever change his mind. And so come out of that. Where most of the people who you know who's in a religion is caught, they trapped in it. You got to come out of that and be a son of God. You at some time or another, you got to stop being a regular person and be one of these new creatures, one of these royal priesthood who was in the darkness. Now you're in the marvelous light. You got to help somebody else come out of the darkness, and you don't need to know anything, but the Lord is good to me. Yeah. You've already experienced that the Lord is good. That's all you need. And if you make up your mind that you're going to obey God, you'll find that that's God. This God that give you peace, he's going to be with you. You don't even have to quit your job. All you need is, you might be poor as Job's turkey. But when you decide that you're going to let God run your life and stop being a trickster, you instantly become a rich man. Because God will be right there with you. And when you need something, he already know what you need before you ask him. And all you need to know is he's your father and not your slave master. Come on, somebody.
Prayer
is talking to God.
That's
all you need to do. Just talk to God. You know, well, I don't know how to pray. Come on now. Come on, say, Father. That's how you do it. Come on, say, Father. That's how you talk to God. Come on, one more time. Father. Sometimes you don't even have to say what it is that you're desiring. Sometimes when you just say, Father, he answers it before you even ask him. Get to know him as Father. So you got your faith in place. Now, they that have believed, they stop working on that part. They leave that part of their life alone because that's God's business. When you're in covenant, you don't have yourself on your mind. You have the other person on his mind. And if God has got a covenant with you, God has you and your life. And you have to let him have your life. Or else you'll be struggling and you will not be fulfilled in your life. You will not be fulfilled. And so the scary part, if you don't know what he promises you, is giving your life over to him for him to take care of you being blessed. And you give your life to making sure that you are helping him. And so God's message to you is save your generation. If you're 15 years old, you need to get somebody who's your age and help them get saved. We said, Pastor, that's what I'm here for. I'm going to show you a strategy. Now let's look at, show is quiet in the house. I'm talking bad or y'all getting it? Yeah. Okay. Come on. I'm all right. I want y'all to pray for me again because I cried a lot when I was a little boy. Okay. Turn to Luke. Luke, the 10th chapter. I pray that this be one of those times in your life, one of those days in your life when you walked up against right in front of destiny and your life was changed. I had a destiny moment in front of Sigel's Community Baptist Church, sitting in the parking lot when I got frustrated and I was serious with God. And I hope this is like that with you. My life changed. Sitting in that car by myself with God. Nobody had to run up behind me telling me to read the Bible. When you're serious about God, this going to work for somebody in my generation. And if it don't work for me, you got a problem. When you get like that with God, nobody has to run up behind you and tell you to read your Bible. You stay on that word and say, God, show me what you're saying. And you'll fall asleep on your knees. You wake back up and you stay there. God, and you read them same four verses again until you get what's in them. It's like digging for gold. It's a price you have to pay for spiritual power. You have to pay a price. You have to sit there and make it one thing. All I want to know, God, you got to show me. It's something in here and it's better than gold. And it's better than silver. I got to get it. You got to show me what you're saying. And when he shows it to me, you can use that for the rest of your life. It's like digging for gold. You sit there until God opens it up to you. And once he shows it to you, you got it. You can walk around and you look just like everybody else, but you got something. You can use it there. You can use it there and it'll work for you because you paid the price because it's locked up from you. It's like throwing pearls to a pig. If a pig don't want those pearls, don't throw your pearls. God is a businessman. If you don't really, really want it, he won't even show it to you. It's like digging for gold. You got to come to yourself. Say, come to myself. You don't go to somebody else and blame somebody else for your plight in life. Well, maybe I'll go to this person. But no, when in that pig pen, that prodigal son had to come to himself. You got to, someday you got to go to yourself and say, why am I in this? You got to stop blaming other people and come to yourself. Okay, Luke 10, 1. After these things, this is the strategy. Okay, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face in every city and place whither he himself would come. Second verse. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor stone nor salute. No man, and salute no man by the way. And into, this is a strategy. See, Jesus knew what he was doing. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him. If not, it shall turn to you. And in the same house remain, come on, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of their hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that is therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of heaven is come nigh unto you. Write the strategy down. Number one, pray. Pray to the Lord. That means the owner of the harvest. If you're on the earth, God won't do anything unless somebody asks him to do it, because he gave over the control to you. So you pray to the owner of the harvest. Number two, speak peace. Number three, eat and drink. Number four, heal the sick.
Hello, 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 Pastor. I don't heal the sick. That's what the pastor does. Come on now.
Come on, say. Heal the sick. Okay, come on. Say, this is number five. Say, that was funny. Okay. Say what? Get right, church.
Say the kingdom of God is come into you.
Number one is what? Pray. Number one, speak peace. Number three, eat and drink. Heal the sick. Say the kingdom of God is near to you. All right. I'm going to take that first one, and then I'm going to close. I'll talk about the other one. Sometimes God just gives you the psh, and it might be five messages when he just said, and it was so impressive. We meet in the mornings. It was so impressive. I told someone in our meeting that we have every morning, I said, God put something in my heart, a message. I'm supposed to tell people, save their generation. 15-year-old people are supposed to save their generation. People in their generation. And God want me to tell them how to do it. We're going to talk about this pray right now. Say pray.
Pray.
You pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. Prayer is talking to God. That's how you pray. Just talk to God. That's how you, Father, and then you just talk to him. Talk to God. Prayer gets you ready for other people. You can't do any, all this stuff is supernatural. That's why you can't, it's a lost cause to try to do anything of this in the flesh, natural stuff. Prayer, you talk to God, and prayer gets you ready for people. Also, prayer gets people ready for you. Prayer is what makes all of this work. Prayer. It gets people ready for you, and it gets you ready for people. You don't have to do anything. Just do what you see God doing. I'm talking about how you save people in your generation. Things work out better when you pray. They just work out better. Things work out better when you pray. Say, I pray. Say, I pray. Things work out better when you pray. I'm going to give you an example. Y'all don't think that Jesus was just doing all that stuff. He was a man. He became 100% man. Everything Jesus did, he did as a man. He didn't do anything as God. He did everything as a man, just like you. Otherwise, what Jesus did wouldn't have counted to your account. Jesus became a man. And he, everything he did, he had to use the same thing that you have to use. So everything you saw Jesus do, he did it as a man. He didn't do it as God. He did it as a man. That's encouraging, huh? But now, you know, he cannot sin. But when he was on earth, he could have sinned. But now he can't sin. And what you got with God is between God and Jesus. And you just, you get to take advantage of it. That's why right now, it's ridiculous for me or you to run around trying to get our blessing. Instead of having our mind on, okay, I'm going to walk in my blessing. I'm going to talk about the blessing. I'm going to talk about what God has done for me. But I am not going to be stressed and trying to get blessed. I'm going to talk about what God has already done and let God make it show up in my life. And in the meantime, God going to impress me to do what Jesus was doing. Save people who are in my life. Yeah, you got to retire from religion one day or else you're going to go, you're going to die in religion. Why they telling you to do stuff, and Jesus already paid everything. And so what you do is you take what you find out God has done and you say it in the past tense with thanksgiving and go on about your business being sons of God. Because the whole earth is waiting until the sons of God show up. They waiting until sons of God start acting like they're sons of God instead of peons trying to get God to bless them. The whole world, all these trees, they waiting for you and me to act like the Bible is true. Okay, come on. I got to get off that. Now, let me give you an example. Look in the Bible for Mark, the first chapter, and we're going to see how Jesus did it. First thing I'm talking about today is praying. This is how you pray. Pray. I mean, this is why you ought to pray. You. Well, say, I'm just 10 years old. You understand what I'm saying? So that means God has called you to live like this before you get to be 80. It's a shame if you find out about this and still put it off until you're 50 years old. You're supposed to get it quicker than I got it. You're supposed to get some of my experience and use it. Yeah. Otherwise, what am I going to experience it for?
Yeah.
Amen. You getting it, aren't you? Yeah, I see.
Hallelujah.
Them children sit there and get it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for me to quit. I'll just tell you this. You read that Matthew, it's Mark 35 through 40. When Jesus prayed, listen to what happened when Jesus prayed. All men start looking for him. When Jesus prayed, listen, the leper found him. Listen, Jesus had compassion and healed the leper. What I'm telling you today, if you do what I'm telling you, folk gonna start talking about. There's a man over the river giving sight to the blind. It's gonna be you. Hey, people gonna get a buzz. It's a woman over the river. If she says something to you, she ain't gonna say it unless God telling her to say it. But if she says it, it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. It's offering time. Receive, Pastor Adrena.
Praise God. When is the second part of this, Pastor? Probably tonight. So hint, hint, hint. Get the second part tonight.